That's fantastic. Thank you. Appreciate that. Chuck and Debbie, what a blessing. That's a great song and a great truth. And the thing that the world is missing out on is the peace of knowing that Calvary covers it all, to know that our sins are forgiven. And of course, the world would struggle with that because they're not, they don't know that they're sinners. They're blind to sin. They know deep down, because there is a consciousness of God in every man, but they don't talk about that. We don't want to talk about sin. That's not politically correct. I don't want to talk about our failures and our sinfulness and how that's hurt us in any way. And we want to be positive, and we want to think positive, and don't tell people they're sinners. That will get people all bent out of shape and upset. And well, it does get you upset, but then you find out there's a way to have that forgiven, and there's a way to be saved, and there's a way to go to heaven, and there's a way to have peace. And praise the Lord that Calvary covers it all, and that is the answer. It would be a shame if all of our soul winning efforts were spent on just telling everybody they're lost, but not telling them how to be saved. Wouldn't that be terrible? Can you imagine Vacation Bible School just bringing everybody to the point where they're lost and then saying, okay, you're dismissed, smile. You know, there's nothing to smile about if all we are is sinners, but there sure is a lot to smile about when we find out we can be forgiven and that our sins are forgiven. We live in a day that it's gloomy for Christians. It really, not only is it raining and has been raining, and we all have plenty of water, I think even Jim Bremmer has enough water. What do you think, Jim? You have enough water? Getting there. It seems like every summer, you know, we've talked about Jim will tell me that he needs rain, and we pray for rain, and I think we can stop praying for rain for a while here, but I call that global wedding. All right, so it goes right along with everything else. But the judges are now overruling the people's votes, and we're seeing that over and over, and we're going to see more of that. I'm afraid doesn't matter what the people say, doesn't matter what the majority wants or says. The judge can simply say, "Well, I don't like this," and they can do their own thing. And so we get this idea, you know, what in the world is going on? What's happening, and what's going to happen to our country? Well, our country is in trouble. The country we know, the country, those that are older that you remember, it's in trouble. There's no doubt about that. I want to talk about that today, not only this morning, but also tonight, in kind of a part one, part two sort of a message. We are talking about for such a time as this, and a time for discipleship, and we've seen the course of discipleship, the common lessons of discipleship, the commands of discipleship, the church and discipleship, and then today we wind up the month of June with our country and discipleship, because really that's what it all boils down to. It honestly boils down to discipleship in our country and discipleship. Father, I pray that you will guide and direct us. I pray that you will help us today to be convicted about the direction of our country. We're still part of it. We still can have an impact, and I pray you'll help us to do that. Certainly, we hate to see some of the things that are going on and some of the decisions judges make and courts make, but we ask for your help and your guidance that we might make the right decisions in our own lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. U.S. Supreme Court, our laws and our institutions must necessarily be based upon the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. It is impossible that it should be otherwise. And in this sense, and to this extent, our civilization and our institutions are emphatically Christian. Say, preacher, that's not our U.S. Supreme Court. 1892. Over 100 years ago. That I'm talking about the United States Supreme Court. Amen. Amen. Let me read it again. Our laws and our institutions must necessarily be based upon the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. It is impossible that it should be otherwise. And in this sense, and to this extent, our civilization and our institutions are emphatically Christian. That was 1892, and we watched our nation become the greatest nation in all the world. It's unbelievable as you look back. You saw the insert in the bulletin. You see, since 2000, I believe, was the date of that, where I got all that, since 2000. And I'm sorry, that was in the year 2000. And I'll talk a little bit more about that tonight. But you see, it's all about discipleship. It's all about what people learn. It's all about the teaching. It's all about what we are taught. It's all about what we preach from the pulpit. It's all about what people have learned, what people have... you see, you have to understand, folks, we're disciples of something. All of us. We're disciples of someone. We are following somebody's teachings. We're going to either follow his or we're going to follow something else, okay? And the truth of the matter is, since 1890, can you imagine the U.S. Supreme Court saying what they said in 1892? Can you imagine them saying that today? I can't, you know, that's so far. In fact, I watched some of your faces. I was reading that. I didn't say the date. And it's like you're looking like, wow, there's no way. You know, we know what they just said. And the truth of the matter is, it is getting farther and farther and farther away. It's gone since the year in the 1960s, which is our little survey, but even that taken in the year 2000, it's worse than that now in 2013. The numbers are, I don't know what they are, but I guarantee they are much, much worse. I remind you of our text today, righteousness exalteth, builds up a nation, but sin is a reproach, it tears down. We think of reproach literally as an embarrassment. Sin brings embarrassment. I can't help but think about the football player who's well known for playing football. He's a multimillionaire for playing football. And now he's now been arrested for murder, and they're finding all kinds of stuff on him. And everybody that says something to me about it says, what's the guy thinking? Well, he's a disciple. He's followed some thinking. He's followed a line of thinking along the way. And what has he done? He's brought reproach. He's brought embarrassment on himself, on his family, on people. They just can't believe. Well, why? What is this guy doing? Well, it's sin. Sin. When you follow the teachings and the ideas of sin, it only leads to one thing, and that's reproach, embarrassment. It always does. Doesn't matter what the sin. Doesn't matter who is doing it. It always brings reproach and embarrassment. And whether it's a nation, whether it's a city, whether it's a church, whether it's a family, doesn't matter what it is, sin always brings reproach. But especially as we think about July 4th and we think about celebrating, and we still are the greatest country in all the world. Amen. We still are. But in thinking about the direction that things are going, let's recognize that there's a discipleship that is going on. People are being taught. People are being trained. People are being indoctrinated into a line of thinking that is not biblical. It is not biblical. There is no direction that we can hope in a positive way as long as that continues. Proverbs 11 and verse 11, and you might want to write this down. It says, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. And unfortunately, over the years, the wicked have had the voice. Over the years, the wicked have been the loudest voices. Over the years, the wicked, and when I talk about wicked, I can refer to unsaved, I can refer to backslider, just whatever, just people that are wicked. Wicked would be anything opposite of what God says. You know, they've been the loudest They've been the voice. You know, Christians have kind of just sort of sat back and just said, well, you know, we just want to be good citizens, and we should be. Praise the Lord. But the truth of the matter is, you know, and the thing is, when you try to disciple, preaching, teaching from a pulpit or wherever it might be, boy, the wicked jump right on that. I mean, but so what else is new? It's nothing new. Ask Moses when you get to heaven, talk to him. Ask him about Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Ask him about the mixed multitude. The whole time Moses led, that mixed multitude was grumbling, griping, complaining. They were attacking. And so, you know, nothing surprising there. But let the U.S. Supreme Court of 2013 say that our laws and our institutions must necessarily be based upon the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind, and they'll not be there long. Not in this day and age. It isn't going to happen. Because the wicked, their voice will be much, much louder. But it's the 4th of July on Thursday, Independence Day. And, you know, America, it seems, is getting worse and worse. Yet there's churches on every corner. Christians have TV programs. Christians have radio programs. Christians are on the internet. There is lots of Christian literature. And certainly Christians have figured out how to have their voices out there, but it doesn't seem to be putting even a dent in the direction of our country. And I believe that's because, again, righteousness exalteth a nation. Sin is a reproach. But let's understand righteousness. Now, there is a righteousness in Christ. There is a righteousness in salvation. There is a righteousness we've talked about in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I get saved, it is not my righteousness that gets me to heaven. It is His righteousness. Literally, I put on His righteousness so that when the Father looks at me, He sees me through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by that, I am declared righteous. Praise the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing. But then there's just good old-fashioned doing right. There's just good old-fashioned, you know, hey, let's just do right. And certainly, there are many, many people that just... Did you know there are unsaved people that just do... They pretty much do right. I know some unsaved people that are very kind, very loving, very nice people. And they're not saved. They don't claim to be saved. Don't go to church. Not interested in that, but they're nice. And they do right, pretty much. And then there's, of course, just Christians saying, you know what, this is the Word of God. And this is what God said, and that's what I'm going to do. And the sad thing is, there's not as many of those as there were in 1892. And I think more than anything else, that is our problem. Now, let's talk about that first righteousness that we were talking about. And certainly, we are doing everything we can. Well, I say everything. We're doing what we can. We're doing some things that we can. About every other year, every 3 years, something like that, I go to Genesis 18. Let's go ahead and look at it real quick. We get just a little bit of an idea. Again, I'm not calling this a doctrine because I don't think it is a doctrine. But it gives us a little bit of an idea of God's long-suffering. God's long-suffering. We have the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Sodom, of course, was a wicked city. And it was a wicked city because of sodomy, sexual perversion, but especially the sin of homosexuality. Again, that is, you know, immediately, folks, you kind of look around like, what if one of those drones is flying around in the building? And, you know, none of that would surprise me at all, honestly. And let me just publicly say, I am not against any homosexual person. I am against the sin of homosexuality. I love people. I love all people. I've counseled homosexuals. I've talked to them about their sin. I've talked to them about lying, too. I've talked to them about stealing. I've talked to them about all kinds of sin, not just the sin of homosexuality, But let's not stick our heads in the sand as Bible-believing Christians. Let's not, just because it doesn't feel good, it's not popular, let's not take our Bible and just put it aside just because somebody isn't speaking on a popular subject. Let's recognize that the sin in Sodom and Gomorrah, the biggest sin and the major sin and what it's known for is the sin of homosexuality. And God destroyed the city of Sodom and Gomorrah because of that sin. Amen. Amen. That is clear in the Bible. Now, you know, I understand that's not popular, but Genesis 18, God gives us a little bit of an idea of his long-suffering. All right. Some would say his patience. Patience typically is dealing with circumstances or things going on in a person's life. Long suffering deals with people. God is long suffering. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, he's long suffering, not willing that any should perish. We may ask, how long is this going to go on? How much longer can it go on? Understand, God is long-suffering. God loves the United States of America. God loves the people, not only in the United States, but in all the world. God loves, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he is long-suffering. He's long-suffering for your loved one who's not saved. He is long-suffering for your neighbor who's not saved. He's long-suffering for your coworker who is not saved. He is long-suffering, my friend, if you're here and you're not saved. God is long-suffering. That means, to better understand it, he's patient with you. He's waiting for you. He wants you to make the decision for Christ. And so God, with Sodom and Gomorrah, was long-suffering. And we get an idea of how that works with him in the story, because Abraham's nephew, Lot, lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot, by the way, was he sat in the gate of the city, so he was an official of the city. And though Lot, the Bible says, was righteous, he didn't have a whole lot of influence, did he? You know, we have this idea somehow we're gonna plant righteous people among unrighteous people, just plant them there and have them establish themselves there, and somehow they're gonna change. No, typically the unrighteous will change the righteous. Now, what we do instead of planting us there is we go and then we leave. That's called soul winning. That's called vacation Bible school. That's called bus ministry. That's called fair ministry. That's called knocking on doors through the week. It's called, that's what we do. We go to them or we bring them in. We tell them the truth. We preach the truth. We tell them what the Bible says. And then we go away. Amen. Because if we don't, if we are planted among them, according to Psalm 1, we're going to be blown away like chaff. Because we're not going to grow. We're going to die. So again, we have this idea here that God says, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot decided to plant himself there, had no influence, no effect on him. We'll touch on that here a few times. But if you recall, Abraham is begging God not to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he's begging God, and we go into, verse 23, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? He says to God, he tells God, God, you know, if you're going to destroy this city, don't you know there are righteous people there? I mean, there's a Baptist church there, there's a Methodist church there, there's a Pentecostal church there. God, don't you understand, there are righteous people there in Sodom and Gomorrah, and if you destroy that whole city, you're going to wipe them out too. Good argument, because God obviously listened to him. Verse 24, peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I mean, by the way, you get an idea of how to pray too. Amen. How to pray for America. Because that's exactly what Abraham did. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, I will spare all the place for their sakes. Wow. Just 50, that's all. Just 50. 50 righteous people, and God says, I'll spare the city. It will not be destroyed with fire and brimstone. But then Abraham, you know, because Abraham knew the city. Abraham knew what it was. Abraham knew what was going on there. Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50. So now he's saying, how about 45? If there's 45 righteous, will you spare it? He said, and he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. Now, you know, we think Abraham's talking him into this. The truth of the matter is, God already knows how many righteous are there. Are you listening? God already knows. God knows our hearts. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there be 40. And God says, I'll not do it for 40's sake. Abraham's thinking, oh, this is great. Wow, Lot and his family, they're going to be spared because I know Lot's been there a long, long time. He's had a good influence. Do you know that Abraham, this carries on. Abraham gets him down to 30, gets him down to 20, and finally gets him down to 10 righteous. If there are 10 righteous people there in Sodom and Gomorrah, the city will not be destroyed. Don't know this for a fact, don't know the exact number, but about 1/10,000th of the city's population. That's it. That's all. If there is 1/10,000th of the city's population that are righteous, the city will not be destroyed. That's, God, you are being so gracious. And you know Abraham walked away thinking, this has got to be good for Lot and his family. Now, all I say is, again, I don't know this is, I'm not making this a doctrine. I'm just taking the scripture and understanding we get a little idea of what God, there is possibly a number in the mind of God Almighty whereby he does spare a city, a nation? Is there a number? I don't know. I know in this case, there was a quota set, and it was 10 righteous. God said, I'll spare the city. Well, you know the story. The city is destroyed. There were not 10 righteous out of 100,000. There was not 1/10,000th righteous people in the city. Now, again, I think that came to a shock to Abraham. I don't think he planned that. I think he thought, surely there would be 10 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah. But obviously, there was not. So again, I don't know. I'm not making that a doctrine. Well, we have to reach this many people. No, I have no idea if that's. It gives us an idea. You know, what keeps God from letting America destroy itself or be destroyed or whatever? What stops it? And is there an amount? Well, I don't know. I just know that God wrote a book called Numbers, and I know that God gave Abraham and he worked with numbers. And so in my mind, I think Vacation Bible School probably pleased God because there were some children who are represented by numbers. 68 trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. I only know that there were young people that called on the Lord to save them. And every one of them, yes, they're a person and they matter and praise the Lord for that. But they also represent a number, perhaps, in the mind of God that is going to spare America. I don't know that. Now, all it does when somebody gets saved is it opens a door for us to disciple them. It gives us an opportunity to, now, we did teach them something when they got saved. We taught them how to be saved. Praise the Lord. That is a discipleship. But then when they get saved, Lord willing, they come back and we get to keep teaching them. Why? So that they not only have the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ by being saved, but so they also learn how to do right. Just simply to do right. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it pleases God when we do right? I think so. And this quota thing, I don't know if there's a quota or not, but I think God looks a whole lot more favorable on America when we're doing right than when we do wrong. And as we continue to abort little babies, then you start to think, okay, is God's patience, his long suffering, are we getting close to our limit? You see. And by the way, that's only happening because people are voting the way they vote. Or not voting. To be real honest with you, I'm not really pulling any punches here today, but I would be ashamed if in the last 8 years I didn't vote. I'd hate to stand before God, honestly, if I didn't vote. You say, oh, it doesn't do any good. Staying home didn't do any good either. I'm going to answer to my God. Again, what is the right thing to do? This is not a political message. This is a message to just keep us going the right way that we're supposed to go, because it's all about discipleship. I'm going to tell you, folks, the devil's disciples and disciplers are going rampant in our nation. They've been in the world for years and have influenced a world to all kinds of wickedness. And again, you are going to be taught by someone. I'm going to be influenced by someone. We are all disciples of something, a system, someone. And the fact of the matter is, if you look at America and the direction and the little stats in the insert in your bulletin, it should be very obvious who America's been listening to. And it's not God. And it's not godliness. And so our first step is we've got to keep preaching the gospel. And again, church after church after church, it is not important. Soul winning doesn't matter. I tell pastors, I say, well, we had our vacation Bible school. And we had X amount of people saved and children saved. And they look at you like, what do you mean? Yeah, and then we baptize. You what? Well, we don't do our Bible school that way. And it's like, come on. What are you thinking? Amen. It's what it's about. It's why we're here. It's what we're supposed to do. It's just like our shepherds. Every service of Shepherd's Bible School, the gospel's given. Every opportunity to tell people how they can be saved. Again, we don't associate, in our minds, we don't associate soul winning with the Supreme Court of 1892, but we should. Because I'm telling you, we're not going to influence the lost. Do you understand? As far as they're not in here right now. They're not going to come to our Sunday school classes. They're not going to come and sit on a Wednesday night service. Lost, occasionally some do. I'm not saying they don't ever. I'm just saying they're not going to come in and sit under the preaching of an independent fundamental Bible believing Baptist church. They're just, that doesn't happen very often, believe me. Lost people aren't saying, you know, I need to go hear what Pastor Rogers has to say. You know, they're not, they don't care about that. But someone who gets saved, we have an opportunity. Someone who gets saved. We had some parents get saved at Vacation Bible School this past week. Now, what's that mean? We have an opportunity with those parents to disciple them, to teach them the truth, so that someday they vote right. Do you understand? Voting right is a spiritual thing. Amen. Amen. Voting right. It is spiritual. Do you understand? I believe we're accountable for how we vote. It's a privilege we're given. But we only vote based upon how we're influenced. Oh, so many of you, you come from the union background where they basically tell you, here's how you're going to vote. This is how to vote. You know, my first experience in RCA, and I'm so far off the outline, it's unbelievable. But my first experience working at RCA in Marion, Indiana, was with the IBE, International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. And they said, here's what you have to do. And I said, no, I don't. I mean, I was one of those people way back then, and just as a young person, I said, "Wait a minute! I'm paying you dues. You're supposed to take care of. I'm not supposed to work for you. I'm paying you. You're supposed to work for me." See, isn't that? Doesn't that just make sense? Amen. And I watched them keep people that guys had come in drunk, and boy, they're right there. Hey, they can't fire you now, you know. And I'm thinking, he needs to get fired. What do you mean they can't fire? Well, you know, we're going to protect you. I said, no, you protect me. You're supposed to represent me. Well, you got to vote this. No, I don't have to vote. I vote the way I want to vote. How'd they get to thinking like that? Discipleship. Discipleship. They sent me, it's so embarrassing, but they sent me the AARP for the last couple years. They've sent me a membership card. Said, you're a member. By the way, you owe us. I said, I don't owe you nothing. I look at how they vote. Now, I'm not mad at you. Don't, boy, somebody's going to get all bent out of shape. I'm still on the introduction that's not even written. Listen, I look at what they say and what they do and what they stand for. I'm not, you know, I don't send people money that don't stand for what I stand for. And I'm not interested in that kind of thing. But how do we get to thinking? Well, you know, they provide this, they provide that, they do this, they do. Okay, well, you know what? I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to stand before Him someday, and I want to learn everything I can about Him and about His way and about His word. And I want to follow that. But how did we get to a place where we start to listen to all these people out here that years ago we wouldn't even have given them the time of day? But now we are. Now we are. Because why? Because discipleship. Why? Because we were discipled by Walter Cronkite years ago. We were discipled by 2020. We get discipled by the media. We're discipled by CNN. We're discipled by, whatever political candidate happens to be saying whatever they say. And we start to follow all that, and that is what shapes our thinking. And so when we ask why America is the way it is, why these last, I don't know if you got your paper yesterday, but doesn't matter what the state of it, doesn't matter what we the people said, a judge can say, well, that's not right. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I can't think of what the act, what that's called. But anyway, it's a matter of why are people accepting all that? Because that's how they've been taught. That's how they've been discipled. Now, what are we going to do? You know, it all starts with righteousness. It really does. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from there's that word, wicked ways. We don't like that. We like to humble themselves, pray, seek my face. We never like that turn from wicked. What wicked's opposite of righteous? Amen. So we have turned from our wicked ways to a righteous way. See, God's looking for some people to be righteous. God's looking for people. And can I submit to you that the righteousness that God is looking for, yes, He's looking for saved people. I believe that with all my heart. I really believe that. I think the most patriotic thing I can do is try to get people saved. I think Vacation Bible School is very patriotic. Now, our theme this year was Wild West VBS, but I honestly, we could have waved American flags all over this place. We could add American flags in the school, in every room, in every class that was having Vacation Bible School. Why? Because getting little children saved is the most patriotic thing that we can possibly do. Amen. It is the only hope for America, is getting people saved. Why? Because then we bring them in and we disciple them. Now, the world calls it brainwashing. Yeah, you Baptists, you're just trying to brainwash. What are you doing? How in the world do people ever even think that it's okay to kill a baby? How has that become so accepted?
acceptable.
I mean, it's not even considered gruesome anymore. This fruitcake doctor that ground up the body parts, you know, people say, oh, that's kind of nasty. But that's all they say. They don't stop and say, well, that's gruesome, but just killing the baby's not. It's all wicked. It's out of hell. It's vile. But the only people that we can influence and disciple are people that are saved. Again, we'll have an unsaved person come in and they'll look at us like we're totally nuts. You know at work. Come on, you take your position and you take your position among unsaved people and you're going to have a hard time teaching them. You're going to have a tough time discipling, changing their view. Oh, come on. I mean, I get my truth off the internet. You come at me with a Bible? What is wrong with you, the Bible? Come on, you know that's not true. You know that's just a bunch of stories. You know that's a bunch of fables. Well, I get all my stuff off the internet. And you're in trouble. But if we can get them saved and get them in here and get them in Sunday school and get them under teaching that is the truth. You see, that's how it's always been. That's how America became as great as America is. Amen. It's getting people saved and teaching them. Exactly what the Great Commission says. Here's what we can do for America. And these are my points right here. I have just two this morning and then a couple tonight. But here's what we can do right here. First of all, you get saved. If you're not saved, get saved. Okay, you need to get saved. Maybe you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Do you understand you're going to hell when you die? I mean, that's all gotten lost in everything. You know, well, Christians, you're just a bunch of, you know, you're just a bunch of fruitcakes and you don't know what you're talking about. Hey, listen to me, I'm not going to hell. I'm saved. I'm born again. I don't know how many teachers this year, probably more than any year this year, are teachers of Vacation Bible School. And we have a lot of visitors, Vacation Bible School. By the way, ours is the best in the county, I guarantee. And hello, it is. I know it is. And we have, I had teachers say to me, Pastor, those kids looked at me like they've never heard this before. You know why? They haven't. They haven't. Because it's not on Saturday cartoons. Doodlebops don't talk about salvation. Huh? You say, how do you know about that? Oh, I'm a pastor. I pastor a lot of kids. We've come a long way from Bugs Bunny. Amen. See, some of you are saying, what's that? Check it out sometime. You'll see. You'll see what indoctrination, it's total fruitcakeism. Stupidity times a million. How about stupidity to the infinity power? But I'm going to tell you this, it's even more than that. It is all planned. It is all designed. It is all going to corrupt these young people. They don't know who Jesus is. They don't know he died on a cross. They don't know why he died on the cross. They think Easter is about the Easter bunny. By the way, some of you think that. They think Christmas is about Santa Claus. They don't know. They do not. I'm talking about fifth and sixth graders. They look at our teachers like, huh? What are you talking about? This is it right here. This is how they're going to find out. There's only one way, and that is we need to get them saved. You may be here and you're lost. You may be here and you've never been saved. Do you know that part of the downfall of the United States of America is you being unsaved? You need to get saved. I beg you, I plead with you, to get saved. God is not willing that any should perish. That means he doesn't want anybody to perish. You know, you hear people today, well, God, a loving God, would not send anyone to hell. You know, that's partially true. God doesn't send. You decide. You decide. I had to decide at the age of 17. We all have to make that decision. You know, the key thing right now, honestly, is you need to get saved if you're not saved. The most patriotic thing, the most loving thing, the most courageous thing, the most decent thing in all the world is for you to get saved. It really is. It is. If you love the United States of America and you sing the Star Spangled Banner, doesn't it make you sick at sporting events when nobody sings? Amen. Doesn't that bother you just a little bit? Wait a minute, how about this? While the Star Spangled Banner is playing? You ever see it? Or how about this? While the Star Spangled Banner is playing? Doesn't that bother you? Wait a minute. Don't be so mad at those people. That's how they were discipled. It's how they were discipled. It's how it's been. My first public school football game since I was in high school was in Burn, Indiana, South Adams High School. For some reason, one of our bus kids went to the public school, and I've pastored public school kids all my years of pastoring, and I went to his football game. And I'll never forget, everybody stood for the Star Spangled Banner, and I stood there, and I started, "Oh, say can you," and I looked around, and I was all alone. Every eye. I saw people way down at the bottom. They all turned and they looked up. People over here turned and they looked up. People clear across the field, they're looking, and it's like, ooh, better hit all the notes right and say all the words right. You know, I felt like I was the featured singer for the Star Spangled Banner. But I thought, what's wrong with you? And what's wrong with you? It's discipleship, folks. It's what it is. It's how they've been taught. If you're here today and not saved, the most American thing you could do, the thing you could do to help our nation more than anything else is get saved. And then the second thing is get others saved. I mean, we have got to get other people saved. We have got to be a soul-winning church. We cannot lose that. We cannot do it. 68 children saved last week. Now you say, well, I'm sure some of them were repeats and some of them didn't mean it. And some, you know, I don't know what that he knows. I do know this. I know they heard the truth. They heard it from every direction they could get it. I know that. I know if somebody got confused about it or somebody got mixed up about it, somebody just wanted to get close to the plat, whatever, if their motives weren't, you know, I know God knows about all that stuff. Amen. Amen. Don't just because there's some that, you know, don't mean it, or just because there's some that are messing around, or just because there's some people that, you know, they do it just to get us off their back or whatever. Don't let that keep you from telling people about Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't let that keep you from giving out gospel tracts everywhere you go. You know, that is what we can do for our country. But you see, here's what I think. I think it's gotten kind of like it became in Sodom and Gomorrah, where a Lot, you know, maybe at first he said, hey, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, and boy, we need to have the Bible in our schools, and we need to pray in our schools, and we need to talk about the Lord wherever we go, and hey, we need to shout about Jesus. But after a while, even Lot never said a word. I think at first Lot, first person that used God's name in vain, Lot said, hey, you don't talk about my God like that. But by the end of that, Lot never said a word. He's an official of the city. You know, we all talk about, well, we need to have Christians elected and all that. I'm not against all that. Here's what we need. We don't need an election. We need to just go tell people about Jesus. Don't need an election for that. While we still can, do you understand the day is coming? It's coming, where our soul winners are going to go to jail. Why? Well, because they knocked on somebody's door and told them they needed to be saved. I'm telling you, this is how we can disciple. We need to get people saved. So many are unsaved. So many are lost. So many don't have a clue. When is the last time you gave out a gospel tract? When is the last time you tried to win somebody to Christ? You know, honestly, they laughed at Noah. You say, well, I just don't like people to make fun of. Noah was made fun of. Yeah, I'm going to build an ark. I guarantee the people laughed. They mocked him as he built that ark. They didn't laugh when the doors were shut. and the rains came down. They didn't laugh then. And I promise you folks, one of these days, the world's not going to laugh. They put Jeremiah in prison. By the way, they laughed at Lot. Yeah. But when the fire and brimstone came down, they didn't laugh then. I want to remind you, David killed Goliath. He was just a young person when he did it. Gideon was a layman when he attacked and won the victory over the Midianites. Esther, just a woman that God used in a great way. It doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you are. What matters is if you're saved, you need to get other people saved. Winning lost people to Christ. Well, you know, I got my gun. I got my guns. Boy, you know, if terrorists come, we're going to blow them away. But you know what? Right now, there's a bigger thing than terrorism, and that is lostism, unsavedism. I'm amazed how many people, you know, I got shotgun here, got my .22 over here, got my handgun over here, and you know, they don't know about all those things. Yeah, but listen to me. Right now, you don't need your shotgun, you don't need your handgun, you don't need your .22, and you ought to praise God you don't need them right now, but you can go out and give out gospel tracts to everybody you see. Oh, Brother Hawkins, I get to thinking about the day that I stand up and say, folks, now look, you're going to have to take back ways to get home. You're going to have to not let anybody know what we talked about. Please don't tell anybody what was preached on today. I dread the day. I hope I never see it. But see, I'm not just thinking. I'm thinking about Matthew Varnum right there and him having to see it someday. You know, and what? Well, I got my shotgun. Yeah, I know. But by the time we break out our shotguns, you understand it's too late. Do you understand that? Yes, sir. I got mine too, but I don't even know where the bullets are. But I do know where my gospel tracts are, and I do know that I give them out all the time, and I talk to as many people, and that's what we have got to do. Christian, listen to me. Amen. Elderly folks, that's what we have to do. We have to tell people how to be saved. We don't have to be nasty about it. We don't have to be unkind about it. We just need to tell the truth. Who will if we don't? I'm talking about your family. I'm talking about, imagine Abraham. And I think about this every time I read this story. I think about Abraham. He had to be thinking, surely Lot got his family saved. Surely all of Lot's family. I mean, 10, let's see. Yeah, surely Lot got his family saved. That should have been all right. You know, 8 in his family plus 2 more. Surely there's 10. Got to be 10. Truth of the matter is, they laughed at him. Do you know why they laughed at him? Because Lot watched all the same things that they watched. Lot listened to the same music they listened to. He read the same stuff they did. Or at least he didn't stand up for anything that was right. Because they laughed, they mocked him when he said, hey, God is coming down, he's going to destroy the city. They said, are you kidding me? You've got to be kidding. It obviously was something they had not heard before from Lot. I wonder what your family'd think if all of a sudden God proclaimed to you that he was going to destroy this city or the city where your family, I wonder what your family'd say when you said, hey, you got to get out. You got to go. You got to get away. What would your family say? Get your family saved. Get your friends saved. Did Lot have any friends? You'd think so. I know Abraham thought so. 10? 10. That's going to be a piece of cake. Lot's a big shot. He sits in the gate of the city. You know, maybe even he was an elected official. He's got lots of friends, right? Think of all the opportunities we have. Do you have friends that are not saved or you're not sure? Shouldn't you know? I cannot think of any friend, anybody I know, that I don't know whether they're saved. At least I've asked them, I've talked to them about it. I can't think of anybody. I can't think of any family member that I don't know that have not had a conversation. Well, you say, you're the preacher. You're a Christian. Amen. And it is our hope for America. You know, this idea that, I got
me a bunker built.
Come on. Do you understand? If you're in a bunker, it's over. We're not in bunkers now. We still can give out gospel tract. We still can give the gospel. We still can knock on doors. We still can go soul winning. We still can run our buses. We still can bring people in. We still can get them in, tell them the truth, get them saved, and disciple them. According to this book right here, the Word of God, we still can. Oh, you know, I hear it's getting tough, but we still can. You know, parents still can be parents. They still can in America. Really? I wish some would. Amen. And your coworkers, obviously, whoever Lot worked with, he didn't get them saved. I understand the devil will fight. You're attacking him. He does fight. He does fight. Believe me. But I'm going to tell you, folks, if we don't do something, it will get worse and worse. Well, and you know, and there are those that, well, the Bible says it's going to. Yeah, but I'm going to stand before him for what I did or didn't do. Okay, I understand it's going to get worse and worse, but what did I do? Well, I hid my shotgun. I got it ready. You know, I knew a family one time, they had a gun at every door. Every door. Gun. I said, what? Just in case. I'd hate to think that's what I'm going to tell God. I'm for guns. Okay? I'm not against them. We just had vacation Bible school, and we really were politically incorrect. Big time. By the way, it was tough to find toy guns. When I was a kid, I had a huge arsenal of every kind of toy gun. I had army toy guns. I had cowboy toy guns. I had space toy guns. I mean, we had every kind of way possible to shoot. And we could talk about it back then. And we didn't get kicked out of school for pointing our finger at somebody like, bang, 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 bang. Oh! You know, you say, you're teaching bad habits. No, I'm just trying to teach a little bit of common sense. Look, if your finger's not loaded, it's safe. You say, you're kind of jumping around. It's one of those kind of messages. We just have to get people saved, folks. Here's the thing, and the whole lesson from Genesis, and why I think God showed it to us. Number one, he showed us how to pray. Number two, he showed us his long suffering. But number three, I think he showed us that there's something he's looking at. There's something we can do. There's something Lot could have done. And somewhere, there is an amount, there is so much God's going to tolerate in the United States of America, and I don't know what that is. I just know that every soul that gets saved, I can disciple. I have a chance to disciple. Okay? A guy out here who's a drunk, who wants nothing to do with God. A guy out here that's a pervert, wants nothing to do with God. I'm not going to be able to teach him the Bible. I'm not going to be able to have him. I don't have a Sunday school class that he's going to feel good about coming to. But if I could get him saved. He has Jesus in his heart. He's a new creature. Now I can start to teach him. Amen. So that the next election, maybe we'd have one more vote. Oh, preacher, it seems impossible. But if all of us did it, that'd be all of us times two more vote. You understand? And again, it's not telling people how to vote. It's telling them how to be right. And then they vote right. If you are right, you vote right. Amen. And you see, we don't have to look far to find our solution that we can do. We don't have to, we just need to tell people. And we need to support soul winning. Honestly, churches are not doing it anymore. You want to look at those statistics that are in the insert? Okay, yes, we can blame the public as far as the public way of looking at things, schools, whatever it is. We can blame all that, but I'm going to tell you this. Go to Christians and look what happened to churches back then and how the Word of God got watered down to a place where it's hardly even used. And soul winning and altar call and people getting saved, it's a thing of history. Thing of history. You know, it should be our heartbeat. It should be. And I believe with all my heart, it is the first phase of discipleship. We get them saved, and then we can teach them. Because they're going to be discipled some way. You are. I am. We've all been discipled. And which way we're taught is going to be the future of America. I can tell you right now, we're losing the battle. We really are losing the battle. I'm not, you know, I told you I'm not pulling any punches. I can't, I mean, it's just, it should be obvious to every person in this room we're losing the battle. You say, well, I got my gun ready. Okay, get out your gospel tracts. Get out your gospel gun, amen, and use it, because you still can, amen. We still can have the fair ministry. We still can give away water. No, we can't give away water. We can give away Kool-Aid. we still can give away anything they don't sell. Amen. And with that, you say, are we bribing? Yes, we are. And we're telling them, if you'll come and do this, we'll give you the gospel. I tell folks, they come in and say, why are you doing this? They say, we want to tell you how to get to heaven. That's why we're doing it. We're not trying to give you, you know, we want you to cool off. Amen. But more than anything else, we want you to stay cool for all eternity. Amen. Don't pull any punches. We're telling you, we're here to tell you the truth. And we still can. Brother Chase, we all signed up for the fair. Got our spot all set. We're ready to go. No, no law says we can't. Now they're getting tough. You know, we have to get a food serving license for our popcorn. Isn't that right? You know, we have to make sure our hands are washed. We didn't used to have to make sure our hands were washed. But anyway, we have to make sure, wouldn't that be common sense? I would think. But again, that's lost in discipleship. But folks, while we can, let's do. Amen. Brother Perry, you went out soul winning. Did you go yesterday? Did you go the week before? Yeah. Nobody arrested you, did they? Amen. I was out. Nobody arrested me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we're not getting arrested. We still can. Brother Ed Engel, he goes to the jails and the prisons, preaches the gospel to the folks there. And there, I mean, that'd be very convenient just to go ahead and put him in a cell. But there he is. They didn't. Amen. We still can. Let's do. Folks, let's get a burden, grab tracks, get them out, talk to people. It is our one opportunity to make a difference in our nation. Let's bow our heads.